The Columbia Workshop, radio's foremost laboratory of writing and production techniques, presents the second and concluding part of a two-part adaptation of the great American classic of the sea, Moby Dick, by Herman Melville. Ernest Canoy adapted the novel for the Columbia Workshop, and the special musical score was composed by Norman Lockwood and is conducted by Frederick Steiner. The program is directed by Howard G. Barnes. The iron will of Captain Ahab drives the whaling ship Pequod forward, ever forward, weary month after weary month, in mad pursuit of the fabulous white whale, Moby Dick. The officers and crew grumble and dream of home, but cannot bend the single purpose of the revenge-obsessed tyrant. Captain Ahab walks the decks of the Pequod with an ivory stump, where Moby Dick took off his leg when last they met. The tale is told by Ishmael.
Gray, gaunt Ahab pacing the tilting quarterdeck, his slim white ivory leg pounding an eternal thumping rhythm, searching, hunting the enemy that robbed him of his leg. Across the storm-tossed ocean, round the horns of the Indian seas and out upon the broad Pacific, close on the foam-thrashed wake of Moby Dick, the monstrous white whale. To Ahab's unhinged fire, the focus and embodiment of infinite malignant evil. Just as the unsetting polar star, so Ahab's purpose beamed down on the constant midnight of the ship's gloomy crew. In this foreshadowing interval, all humor vanished. Starbuck the mate smiled no more, and Stubb the second officer stilled his cheerful song. Like machines, they dumbly moved on deck, ever conscious that the old man's desperate eye was on them.
Sir, we must send down the main topsail yard.
Strike sail, Mr. Stubble.
Aye, sir, the lee lift is half stranded. Shall I strike it, sir?
Strike nothing. I should. If I had skysail poles, I'd sway them up now and carry double canvas. Still on his trail, Stubble. We close hourly on Moby Dick.
Double canvas in a gale, sir. It's madness, Captain.
Aye, Stubble, mad, demoniac. Thou dost abhor thy captain's hunt. But Stubble's body and Stubble's will are Ahab. My magnet at thy brain draws off rebellion.
Insane old man, beware thyself.
Cut ye, Stubbock. We strike no sail nor shorten canvas. Nay, not if the typhoon sweeps away the mast. Until the masthead cries out for Moby Dick. Until he spouts black blood. And in his hand, I clutch his evil heart.
And when the seas had calmed again in the summer cool weather of these latitudes, the open sunbeat deck invited Perth, the blacksmith. And he rigged his forge, lashed tight to ring bolts in the deck. Surrounded by an eager circle, all waiting to be served, he mended boat spades, pike heads, harpoons, and lances. He worked in a shower of darting sparks that sprayed round him in thick, hovering flight.
His father was the keeper of the Eddystone Light. He married a mermaid one fine night. Out of this union there came three. The two was fishes, the other was me. Oh, the wind blows free. Oh, for the life on the roving sea.
Blacksmith!
Aye, sir.
Thy sparks, Perth. Are they thy mother Kerry's chickens, flying in thy wake?
The sparks, sir?
Look here. They burn the deck. But thou livest among them without a scorch.
Because I am scorched all over, Captain. Not easily canst thou scorch a star.
What wast thou making there?
Welly an old pikehead, sir. There were seams and dents in it.
And canst thou make it all smooth again, blacksmith, after such hard usage as it had?
I think so, sir.
Thou canst smooth seams and dents, no matter how hard the metal?
Aye, sir. All seams and dents but one.
Look ye here, then. Here. Can ye smooth out the wrinkled seam of madness in my brow? If thou couldst, blacksmith, glad enough would I lay my head upon the anvil and feel thy heaviest hammer between my eyes. Answer, canst thou smooth this seam?
Nay, sir. That is the one dent insensible of blacksmith's hammer.
Aye, man, it is unsmoothable. For though thou seest it here in my flesh, it has worked down into the bone of my skull. But no more of pikes and gaffs. 40 years ago.
A long time, Captain.
And not 3 years ashore. Oh, weariness. 40 years on dry salted fare. Fit emblem of the dry nourishment of my soul.
Thou art married?
Aye. A young girl. But a wife? Rather a widow whose husband lives. I widowed that girl when I married her, Stabbit. Old Ahab. More a demon than a man. By this strife, this chase, how richer or better is Ahab now? Dismasted, an ivory peg to prop a stump. I feel deadly bowed and humped, as though I were Adam staggering beneath the piled centuries in paradise.
Captain, the wind blows to Nantucket.
Stand close, Stabbit. Let me look into a human eye. I see my wife and child in thine eye. Stabbit, do thou stay on board the Pequod. Lower not when I do. When branded Ahab gives chase to Moby Dick, that hazard shall not be thine.
Captain, noble soul, why should anyone give chase to that feeding fish?
No, Stabbit.
Away, let us fly those deadly waters, let us home. Wife and child, too, are mine. Let me alter course.
Captain, pack my heart, save my brain. Mockery, bitter mockery.
Let me square, Captain. How cheerily would we bowl on our way to see old Nantucket again. All the mild blue days like this one on Nantucket Island.
Aye, and about this time the boy awakes, sits up in bed, and his mother speaks of Ahab, abroad on the deep, who will yet be home again.
'Tis my Mary herself. She promised every morning would my son be carried to the highest hill, to catch first glimpse of his father's sail.
What is it, Stabbit? What cruel and hidden lord is he that orders me against all natural lovings and longings? Is Ahab Ahab? Is it I or God or who that lifts his arm? By heaven, man, we'll turn round and round like yonder windlass and fates the handspike. But we'll sleep at last, Stabbit. I cling to that. We'll sleep at last.
Home, Captain, home. Change the course, beat back to home. Thy wife, thy child, and mine.
Dick.
vision grew smooth. And now they saw him wallowing in the trough, his dazzling hump visible, sliding along the sea, his tiny malignant eye fixed out over the waves, his massive wrinkled forehead towering over the swells. Seabirds roosted on his craggy head. So swam Moby Dick. And in the stern sheets of his driving boat stood Ahab, his burning eye fixed on the lazy spout that topped the massive head.
Pull again! I shall not lose him! There goes Luke! He's down, Captain!
Aye, down to the bottom an hour, he'll stay. Easy off.
Hey, Captain! See the birds that roosted on his back, the head this way!
Hey, keen eyes, look down! Look down, Captain!
The birds fell through! Turn all, 'tis Moby Dick!
Boom! Boom for life! He comes up! Jump! Jump!
He's got us in his jaws!
He's back in the boat! Jump!
Into the churning sea spilled Ahab as the whale's jaws crushed the frail gunwales and sliced the boat in two. And withdrawn from his prey, Moby Dick now lay at a little distance. Swiftly round and round he swam, churning the water in his vengeful wake, barring from the floating wreck the other boats, till down upon the circle of boats and the maddened whale bore the Pequod, close upon the maelstrom that battered swimming in. They fished up floating mariners and shattered whaling gear. And then old Ahab, dragged from the sea, stood again on his quarter deck. The morning of the third day dawned fair and fresh, and once more the lookouts dotted every masthead and almost every spar. Time itself now held long breaths with keen suspense. Hours passed, gold beaten out to ages.
Abbott,
sir,
for the third time, my soul's ship stops upon this voyage.
Aye, sir, thou wilt have it so.
Some men die at ebb tide, Abbott, some at low water, and some at the full of the flood. Shake hands with me now, man.
Oh,
Captain. Captain, go not.
Go not.
Man your boats. Stand by the crew. Go away!
Heart of wrought steel. What is this that shoots through me and leaves me so deadly calm and expectant, fixed at the top of a shudder? Merry girl, thou fadest before me. Go stir thyself, Starbucks. Stave it off. Oh, Ahab. Ahab. Shudder, old man. Thou hast brought down death upon us.
The whaleboats rocked slowly where the spouting Moby Dick had sounded, waiting till he should rise and blow again. Suddenly the waters around them slowly swelled in broad circles and quickly upheaved. A low rumbling sound, a subterranean hum, and shrouded in a thin, drooping veil of mist, a vast form shot lengthwise from the sea.
He cuts that soft hat and the other.
Do we pick him up, Captain? Nay, nay. We still float, and Moby Dick lies 2 boat lengths off.
Hold up! She blows, Captain! Pull again! Once more!
Darren, slack off! Hold steady! Harpoon!
Now!
My curse.
He rolls, Captain. Watch out the line. The line snaps.
Where is he now? Cry him out. Where is he?
He swims on the ship, Captain.
He's dead in front of Pequod.
Oars, oars.
Pull. Pull.
Let Ahab drive again upon his mark. The ship. The ship. Dash on, my men. Will ye not save my ship?
Upon the advancing prow, the Pequod rode Moby Dick, smiting his jaw amid fiery showers of foam. On the ship's deck stood Starbuck and sea-drenched Stubb, rescued from the wreckage of the stowboats. The masthead screamed a warning. They turned and caught sight of the downcoming monster.
The wheel! The wheel! Up helm! Up helm! Let not Starbuck die if die he must in a woman's fainting fit.
Up helm, ye fools! The jaws are open! The jaws!
Oh, Ahab, blow thy work. Steady, helmsman, steady! Up helm again! He turns to meet us, his bow drives on! May God stand by me now!
The solid white buttress of the whale's forehead smote the ship's starboard bow till men and timbers reeled. Through the breach, they heard the waters pour as mountain torrents down a flume. Slowly, slowly, the ship settled in the water. The whale lay quiet within a few yards of Ahab's tiny advancing boat.
Thou firm, death glorious ship, must ye then perish in without me? Oh, lonely death. Oh, lonely life. Moby Dick, towards thee I roll, thou all destroying but unconquering whale. To the last I grapple with thee.
He blows, Captain.
One more pull now, men. There! Steady off. From hell's heart I stab at thee. For hate's sake, I spit my last breath at thee. Let die while chasing thee, tied to thee, thou cursed whale. Thus I give up the spear.
Captain, he's sounding.
Captain, the line is fouled.
Captain, you want to get him on the boat?
The line, Captain. Watch that loo, Captain.
Caught by a flying turn around the neck, the singing whale line shot him over the side. And down, down through the swirling depths, sank Mad Ahab. Down to the silent rest he yearned for. Still seeking Moby Dick, following the mighty white whale to the quiet darkness below. And now, concentric circles seized the lone boat itself as the greater bulk of the ship settled into the sea. And all the crew and each floating oar, lance, pole, spinning altogether, animate and inanimate, all round and round in one vortex, sank downward, carrying the smallest chip of the Pequod out of sight. Now, small fowls flew screaming over the yet yawning gulf. A sullen white surf beat against its steep sides. Then all collapsed, and the great shroud of the sea rolled on as it rolled 5,000 years ago. The drama's done. Why then here does anyone step forth? Because one did survive the wreck. I, Ishmael, floated in the wreckage at the margin of the vortex. And when the half-spent suction of the ship reached me and drew me round and round to the center of the slowly wheeling circle, it had subsided to a creamy pool. Clinging to a shattered boat, I floated on the soft and dirge-like neck. On the second day, a sail drew near, nearer, and picked me up at last. It was the Rachel. But in her retracing search after her missing children, only found another orphan.
Moby Dick by the great American novelist Herman Melville. Today and last week, the Columbia Workshop presented this classic of the seas in two parts, as adapted by Ernest Canoy and directed by Howard G. Barnes. The musical score was composed by Norman Lockwood and conducted by Frederick Steiner. Included in the cast were Sidney Smith as Ishmael, Neil O'Malley was Ahab, and Charles Irving was Starbuck. Next week, over most of these same CBS stations, the Columbia Workshop will present an original fantasy by Joseph Ruskell entitled Lee Fountain Comes of Age, which will be directed by Werner Michel with a special musical score by Alexander Semler. Saturday night is good listening with CBS, so listen now over most of these same stations to the famous correspondent Larry Lesser in the news. He'll be with you in a moment. This is Don Baker for CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.